Welcome back to another episode of Empower with Emma with me, Emma Kyo. This week on the pod, I have such an amazing guest. He is literally a martyr for self-love, for connecting with yourself. And the conversation we had was just so magical, all about the power of vulnerability, opening up about love, sharing your story, and how important we have to feel the feels and all our emotions, even when it comes to grief. It is the one and only Connor Creighton. Welcome to the pod, Connor Creighton. How are you today?
I'm really good, Emma. I'm really good. Well, apart from what I think about having my throat chakra been a bit fecked.
It's probably all you expressing all your energy over the last while.
It's the overexpressed, maybe.
Yeah, like you can even hear mine now. I'm like, I think this is from the weekend, in fairness, but probably talking so much as well. So yeah. I'm so delighted to have you on the pod today, because we were chatting before about the previous season. I was like, I just was dying to get you on the podcast. So before, like, I'll do my introduction beforehand. Would you like to tell us your story and what you're about?
Jesus. I suppose I think what I'm all about is trying to be the purest expression of what I can be, and I somehow turned that into a career. I think I just kind of like, I'm trying to get to know myself and express myself, but I'm just doing it very publicly. And, that's it. I think, I suppose I've always been trying to do this my whole life. Like, I worked as a journalist for a very long time before and worked in just very different areas. And, I think I've just been refining this more and more, and slowly breaking through an awful lot of my conditioning and just kind of liberating myself, my personality an awful lot more. And that's what this current chapter right now seems to be all about, that. Yeah.
And I think that's why I resonate with you so much, because I can see that even from your socials, we've never met, but I've, like I said, off like line as well, like I've followed you for ages. I just love how real you are. And you're just like, I'm me. And like, that's that. And I'm on that journey as well, because I think for years I hid behind this mask of people pleasing, of judgment, of fear, of not knowing who I really was. And now we're actually in, it's not a struggle, but you're in that ickiness, but you know it's so good because there's something else coming. That's why you keep doing it. And for me, even what you said, like, resonates so much, was like, I'm learning to be the purest version of myself.
Yeah.
And it's hard as fuck, but you're just like, there's something just going, no. Like, fuck what everyone else thinks. A big thing for me, which I actually really love about you, is your power of vulnerability.
Thank you. Lovely.
Yeah. You're very vulnerable. You're very open with your story, which I'm like, oh my God, that, especially for a man, I think is very admirable.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think there's any other way to go about it, to be honest. You know what I mean? It's this idea that, like, I know for so many years, I really thought I was so important. Do you know what I mean? Much of what of my work was all about, like when I first started becoming a journalist.
Yeah.
I loved to see my name in places. Oh, I fucking, like, I was like, ah, look at me. I'm there. Bye, Connor Creighton.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I was so, and I suppose there's still a little bit of that, like, where I kind of love to hear praise still. And I love to think of myself as, like, I don't know, someone who spouts wisdom or whatever, but it's the idea that, like, I know the more seriously that I take myself, the more I'm going to suffer in life. Because as I take myself more seriously, I just build up this ego again. I just create another prison for myself. So I just love to be able to try and just be as vulnerable and honest about this human experience that I'm having.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. So then talk to me more about that for people who don't know, because, like, obviously my listeners as well, and even for people who are listening on your platform, like, you know, about the ego, about the external self, like, how would you describe that from when you were kind of merging from your egotistical self? Because I've been there. Oh, God, I've been there. And how you kind of are migrating into that true self, like how would you explain that to someone and the feelings and the transition of it?
Yeah, well, I think I probably spent most of my life operating from a place of responding to the conditioning and cultural learning that I'd got. So as a man, that would have meant like growing up, for example, it would have meant like been a bit of an asshole, because I was like, this is how young men are. You know, we're homophobic. We're rude to women. You know what I mean? We're kind of like, we're a bit aggressive. We slag each other. I jumped right into that world, you know, and was very good at that world. Became a bartender. Was like, oh, I'm a cocky little shit here. I'm super like, had this capacity to like cut people down with my language and so much of that was just me, I guess, fitting in and responding to how I imagined I was supposed to be or show up in the world, and following examples that I'd got, like the example that I got from my father and like school and so on and so forth. And I think what's happening now, or the transition that I'm making, is trying to just have the center of my authority, the center of my direction inside of me. So basing my decisions simply on my feelings, and connecting to just also beginning to treat the world as a reflection of my relationship with myself.
Yes.
Right? So it's this idea of like, and I think this is a very Irish thing. I think like we get an awful lot of satisfaction from feeling like victims. I know that I certainly spent so much of my life like playing on this idea of being a victim. I think I probably used it definitely in relationships with women, you know, where I'd be like, oh, I'm damaged, you know, this sort of thing, or in life would play small an awful lot because there was a comfort in that. And I think a big part of the realization that I'm having right now in these years is just I'm actually responsible for absolutely everything I encounter. And I want to show up with that sense of responsibility.
Like, that's huge, though. That's huge to even say those words. Do you know that way? Like,
yeah, it is.
It is, because you're taking ownership of yourself, where like, yeah. I can totally relate to everything you're saying, because like, as being conditioned when we were younger, you know, and then if things happen when we're younger, trauma, et cetera, like that, you do play that victim role. And then you go over in that story over and over. And then you want, then that's coming to the external validation there. We want validation then, like, oh no, that happened. This needs to happen. And then that comes to, we want to control our outer world because we don't want to go into our inner world because it's chaos.
Yeah, and because once we go into our inner world, we're going to actually realize, oh fuck, I don't like myself.
Yeah.
Worse than that, I actually believe that I'm useless.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that? And this is why I'm like, I think the only reason people aren't following their dreams is because they have a core belief that at some level they can't do anything and they're useless. And they're not worth.
Yeah, and where was that point for you where you were like, do you know what? Like you went from like, you know, a bartender, you were a journalist, you wrote a book. It's like, where was that point where you like, no, I am worthy. I'm not useless. Like, I want to do this. Like, and you started validating yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it's happened over and over again at different occasions, but I can remember one occasion really, really well, where I had just, I just started to kind of teach meditation a bit more publicly. I've done a series of classes in Mazer's studio. And I remember just having this sense of like, I want to make a video on Instagram talking about meditation. So this is maybe, I want to say maybe 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. It was just, I can't look at my face. I can't hear my voice. I had all this like barrage of, Jesus, Connor, you're some lad from Kildare. You can't talk about spirituality. And I just remember then spending about 2 days in a funk. And I realized, shit, like, this is the weight of my blockage here.
Yeah.
And this is something that I really want to do, but I'm not allowing myself to do it. And I remember, I have a great relationship with my mother, and I remember I just called her up and I said, Mom, I just want to confess this to you. I've just found this huge blockage and I just want to let you know about it. I'm going to share it with you. Because I'm going to break through the blockage anyway. I'm just going to do it because I know if I don't do it, I'm. And that was kind of it. I think I just sort of, and since then I've kind of used Instagram as a way to just, you know, break this blockage and retrain myself a little bit.
Yeah. And like, I think that's such a, like, how to say, it's a very powerful thing within itself, because as well, like, I think I was in a very similar situation to you, which you were saying earlier on, is like, I used to be a buyer for pennies for about 10 years, and people started following me for like my fashion, for like all my inspo, for my confidence. But inside, like, I suffered really bad with self-esteem, what other issues, like, but I was loving the external validation. I was loving, you know, the likes, and you get really like driven on that. So then it comes a point, I went through like such a hard time, like, you know, just during COVID, went through a breakup, went through, like, that's when the shit hit the fan. I had to go internal because I was so external, being busy with life, just Instagram, pleasing others, running around. And it just stopped. Everything stopped that I had to stop. But then from that, then I've started to migrate then to what you're doing, as in, you know, helping people show my vulnerable self, because the fear of, I think the initial fear was, what will people think? You know, what will they say because I'm being my true self? You know, like, how is that going to cause? What if that comes back? I'm afraid of the fear and the rejection and the judgment. Isn't it, like,
yeah, and like, oh, so valid, so valid, right?
Yeah. And then, like, how did you break through those barriers yourself of going, do you know what, like, I'm just showing up as me? Like,
well, it wasn't easy, you know what I mean, but I just started to do it, and like, it was I've, you know, some friends kind of migrated with me you know, and we're like, we accept you who you are, and then
yes.
And then there was a couple of others who sort of, you know, were a bit more take the piss. But I think, to be honest with you, like, most of the fears I had were all in my head. And what I've discovered is actually that, you know, and a lot of the kind of the apprehension I had about, well, will I be an outcast, was all in my head.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think one thing that I would have struggled with as well when I was younger, and I said it on my pod, like, I was bullied when I was younger. So all that comes into your head all the time.
Yeah.
And trying to get, yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to step out from that shadow of bullying, right?
And like, I think a big thing for me, which I actually had on my notes here for you, was, you know, the pressures of the external world of, you know, what we were saying, like, feeling good enough, feeling validated, you know. How do you navigate that for your inner self? How do you take charge of that? Like being come back to me, you know, like, not sitting with the ego, not letting that run, because we've done that for years and we've been conditioned like that for years. How do you do that?
Well, I feel I've curated a lot of my community really well. I have very good people around me. And they're friends who want my freedom. You know, they want me to be free and they want me to be happy. So I don't come up against a lot of that sort of strange manipulative pressure that I think I used to come up against a lot before. And I've also kind of just made a decision a while ago that I didn't come here to be like everyone else. I think I just accept that I'm probably going to be a bit weird, and that's fine. And that's just it. Do you know what I mean? And I think I'm kind of, I feel sort of lucky in some ways in that I guess I've known an awful lot of artists, you know, and have always admired how artists are just so different. They really make up their own rules and they somehow survive in their own way. And they have these phenomenal interior worlds that they really cultivate so well. And I think there's something of I take a little bit of comfort from just imagining how it is to be an artist, and just knowing that kind of the other side is like just sort of knowing that if I don't live what's true in me, if I don't live that, like if I don't express it, I know I'm going to be miserable.
Yeah.
And also like Emma, like I think there's something, and I don't know if you've realized this too, but I think when you connect with your soul's purpose, when you align to whatever your soul contract is, you're protected. This is what I've noticed. The more I kind of like connect to what is really my purpose, my deep spiritual purpose, the more I just notice that like I'm actually taken care of on the planet.
Yeah. Like, and I nearly got butterflies in my stomach hearing that, because that's the real thing. And like, come here, there's gonna be listeners on here being like, these two hippies.
I know,
Not
right?
Hare Krishnas, you know. But I do feel that, because I think for years, like, I was so conditioned with the, you know, the outside world, and then working in corporate, and then working in business, and then I've only went outside, say, in the last year. I'm a coach, I'm a mindfulness and meditation teacher. But when you start doing this, because I had imposter syndrome for about a year, I was like, what am I even doing? Like, who actually even cares about this? Like, what is going on? But then you get this point where you're like, I had this big thing. Did you ever get this? Okay. Where you have two people. You have, like, obviously your old self, and then you have your higher self, which you want to be, and then you have the self in between. I constantly felt like the in between, like there was no connection of who I was and who I was becoming. And it was like that sticky middle of, like, I just want them to gel together. I remember saying it to my therapist. I was like, I just want it to be together. I want to feel connected. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, why can't you understand what I'm saying? Can you relate to that?
Well, totally. And I think like the way that I would interpret that, or the way that that feels to me, is that you were possibly waiting for external signs. You know what I mean? Right? Like, because I it's like I'm kind of, I feel I'm in a kind of a constant state of becoming. Do you know? And I'm already like, again, I'm in another period of transition, and I can feel the person I'm becoming, even though my circumstances don't match that yet. But I'm still like inhabiting the feeling body of what I'm becoming, and that. That to me feels like a quite a powerful way to navigate your own personal change.
And that's such a big thing. I think a lot of people, and that's, see, I'm such a feeler. I'm a water sign, I'm a Cancerian, so I feel everything. But I think as well, it's like when you start owning your feelings. So I started to really just start showing up as going, I'm going to show up as her. Like, this is what I would do. This is what I want to do. This is how it's going to make me feel when I do that. And then something just clicked. It took a while. It did take a long time. But now I am that one. I'm not the past and I'm not the future, but I'm still kind of going along with it. So it's like you're on that journey, like what you said as well, of becoming something else. Because I think a big thing for people is they constantly think that the journey stops. Oh no. Where are you on that journey?
I've no idea. No idea, but I do feel I'm going from lightness to more lightness. I think there was a period where I felt I was just going from darkness to lightness, and dropping into darkness over and over again. But recently it feels like, okay, I've reached some sort of stability in the lightness, and I can see how I want more, or how I'm moving towards more.
But how would you describe that feeling to someone then? Like, how would you know? You know, if we're talking to someone else, being like, describe that feeling for me. What does it feel like? How do I know?
I think it's an awareness that life is a dream, and that reality is not as real as we imagine it is.
Perception.
Do you know what I mean? And then like kind of figuring out like sort of like, okay, I get this now. This is a type of game. There are ways to play this game. There are ways to navigate this game. And everything that happens to me here is happening for my advantage. All the heartache, all the sadness. My dad passed away in
I
September.
know, I'm so sorry about that.
But it was truly like, Emma, like it was the most transformative experience I've ever had in my life. I don't regret a second of it.
Really?
It was so beautiful. And at the time I was, it's so strange how our bodies do this. Like I was suffering from like crazy nerve damage in my back, to the point where like it was really hard for me to sit and my back would just be spasming. And the whole situation was just so dramatic, you know. I was like in intensive care asking nurses if they've painkillers, do you know what I mean? Do you know, stronger than what? Like some of what my dad, could I get a little bit of that? Of course, they said no, they're very professional. But it's just the whole thing was very dramatic and it was very intense, and but a phenomenal experience. And I can see how all of it, and I don't want to be insensitive for those who are grieving here. This is just,
No, this is your own personal story.
but just how it was all very deliberately happening to enable my growth. It was all for my advantage. And I go through life, and regardless of what happens to me, I don't allow myself, oh well, I mean, like I hope I don't allow myself, but I try not to allow myself to ever drop back into this victim place. So no matter what happens to me, something doesn't arrive, love goes awry, someone disappears from my life, an opportunity, I really have this belief, this is happening for my advantage.
Yeah, that's huge. But like, how do you keep yourself in check for doing that when something like that happens? Not only with the grieving of your, like, your father passing away, it's like anything in life. Like, how do you keep yourself in check to go, okay, like, I've got this, and validating yourself in order to move forward?
It's a practice. It's a real practice. So I mean, at one level, it's sort of like it's turning your affirmations into actions, you know. So for example, like you know, I would be someone who loves affirmations, you know, and I like to like wake up in the morning and just like repeatedly tell myself how much I love myself, you know, and be really kind to myself. And that's like that's one level. I think the next has then been like, all right, how do I like put my money where my mouth is? Because it's easy maybe at one level to do the affirmations and then just go leave your house to a life of drudgery. And for me then, like after the affirmations, it's like, well, fuck, what's my heart's desire? Now I'm on this planet, I'm playing around. Like, what do I really want to do? And sometimes the answer that comes back is one that just would feel like, well, that's not very productive. That's not going to get me more money. That's not going to create more security for me. That's just a lot of fun. And I choose the fun. You know what I mean? And so and again, it's sort of, it's an act of trust. It's an act of trusting that I'll be protected in this life. But it's also like it's developing deeper layers of trust with myself, that I allow myself to do nice things, to have nice things, to like at the moment, a big thing that I like, I suppose like my biggest imposter thing would be the whole world of art. I've always been fascinated by artists. I've always dated artists. I've never done art.
But
Like never.
what's stopping you from doing art?
A huge lot. So I've started.
Okay, I actually seen that on your Instagram. Did you do those two little pictures?
So I've started to
Okay.
do. I've started to
When's the
like.
gallery? When's the show?
I have no idea. Wow. That really brings up my imposter syndrome a lot there. Do you know what I mean? But that sort of thing, like that's an act of love for myself. Even bringing it up in conversation with you is a huge act of love because that feels very vulnerable to me. And by hearing this over and over again, I stay on my own side. Do you know what I mean? And I the connections deepen.
Okay, and out of curiosity, does that come from a place of not worthiness, of not believing in yourself, or more expressing yourself for who you are?
I think it's a it's a little bit of a tall poppy syndrome. It's a little bit of like growing up in a place where boys didn't do art. You know what I mean? Or
Okay, right.
like growing up a place where you're just like I don't know. I have an awful lot of like internal small town Midlands mentality in me. Like a lot of conditioning. Do you know what I mean? Like the
Yeah.
school, a boy didn't do art. And you know what I mean? Art would be like, what are you doing that for? Like, what do you like? You gobshite. Do you know what we've said? And a lot of that is still in me. And it's only now at 43 years of age that I'm confronting it.
Yeah. So do you think then that's something that's kind of like by you doing art now, it's like, do you think that's gonna heal that inner child aspect of you?
Totally.
Right. Okay.
Completely.
This is huge because I'm all about the inner child work.
Yeah.
And I went to a kinesiologist for years and I had to get over this hurdle because I played the victim for so much of my life, went through a lot, and then the inner child and doing this. And I was like, what? But when you started recognizing, you need to go back. I think as well, a big thing, like you were saying as well, as adults, we're conditioned as this. But when we come into our adult life, we're kind of like, oh, we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to do that. But where's the fun? Where is the play? Where's the fun? Where's the laugh in life? Do you know that way? What do you do for that? Like, what? Be a robot, go to work, come home, go on social media, go out to a bar, go to the gym. Where is the fun?
Yes, exactly. Like this is a thing. I feel at the moment like I'm conducting an experiment.
With
And
yourself.
yeah, and the experiment is, can I actually just do the things that excite me? Like,
Ooh, and
do you
what would
know
that be? Name the three. What's the three?
the creating beautiful things? Expressing my truth, like really expressing my
Yeah.
truth, and then like taking really great care of myself.
I love that. I think as well, it's like I'm definitely on the same wave because a big thing for me was art when I was younger, right? And I used to love, art history, expression. Like I was mad for going to galleries, museums, and people thought I was like, you are a geek. But I'd be like looking at Venus's Botticelli and being like, look at that. And people are like, are you okay? But I just loved it, right? And I used to go, museums on my own, but I lost touch of that. So then I started, a big thing for me was embodiment, trying to embody that a bit more my own self. So then I wrote down a little list. I was like, I have to take care of me. I have to have fun. I need to express. I need to do these things. So I'm on that very, very more or less same journey as yourself, Connor. And I said to my friends, I was like, I'm writing a list. Like, I want to go to, pole dance and female dance, do that. I want to do music again because I love music and I want to do art. So I signed up and I went to a life drawing class in the Liberties. Gorgeous. She was playing jazz music. A model got up and people were like, you were drawing a nude model. And I was like, yeah, what's the thing? I was like, she was stunning. It was beautiful. It was so, and I literally was like, this is amazing. I was like, I am in flow here. I literally was so proud of myself. I was like, because I hadn't drawn since I was 18, like since that's like 20 years ago nearly. But like, it's to think that I was really like, I made that commitment to go inward to actually be like, I can actually make this fun for myself, but I have to take responsibility. But for years, I was looking for other people to do that for me. And like the feeling that that gave me because I took ownership, like you're saying about art, even though you're so vulnerable, you feel like I felt so nervous walking in there. I was like, there's going to be other people better than me. And it was in an art studio with everybody else who are artists. They were like, oh, do you have your own studio here? I was like, no.
And you know, like Emma, like there's so much of this is like confronting like the kind of the social class you grew up in as well. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
So where I grew up, like you kind of like if you were a lad, you know, we went like when you go to the tech, do you know what I mean? You don't
Yeah.
like this is like paint. Like who do you think you are? Like, do you know what I mean? So it's sort of I always felt that like from the background that I came from, like I didn't own art. It certainly wasn't an area, it certainly wasn't. It's funny, like it's strangely enough, I didn't feel that with writing. I felt like, oh no, I can write. Like you can, it doesn't matter where you come from, you can write. But with art, I always thought, no, that's for elites.
Okay.
And that was just the impression that I had.
Because that was a belief that you were given because of how you were conditioned.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of like right now, that's the thing that I'm really working at dismantling.
Okay. And like, what would you say to someone who's like struggling to like recondition their own beliefs? Because I do feel a lot of people are going to take, because obviously that's what I do as well, but I do think it's really nice from a different person's point of view, and especially as a man, to be like, what point where you were like, oh no, I'm breaking the mold here. I'm done with this story. Like,
I think when you just realize that sort of like you don't, there's no in between. You either like we're energy, and that energy can either expand or contract, and that's it. And you feel so much better when you're expanding, when you're doing the things that you're afraid of. When there's something that you're afraid of doing and then you decide to not do it, your whole body just sort of shrivels a little bit. Energetically, you shrivel. And not to get too mystic about it, but I think that's when you then invite illness. You know, I think that's when you invite like heavy, clouded thoughts when you are refusing to do the things that you're scared of doing. I think fear is like such an important part of the human experience because fear is our signpost. And like if people are listening to this right now, I'm sure they're like aware of like there's things that they're thinking, oh, I'm really scared to do that. Yet that's the direction. That's kind of like the cheat codes a little bit. You know, you go towards the fear because that's where the expansion is.
Yeah, like that's so true, because that's one, you have to lean into the uncomfortable. And that's one thing that I thought, because I think we're always conditioned to be like, you know, when like something happens, it's like, no, you sit there, now you be comfortable, now don't move. Like, that's grand. And obviously that's your ego self as well. But a big thing for me was, I'd say, over the, because I only took voluntary redundancy like last year, and I started going all in on myself, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But it was the fear that I was like, right, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to know, because the only person that's the driver of my life is me, nobody else. And a big thing for me, how I basically mind fucked myself, is I started relabeling fear as curiosity. I'm not afraid, I'm just curious.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like my inner compass. It's like that horrible feeling in your stomach. I used to be like, okay, am I afraid? Yeah. Why am I afraid? Because I haven't done it before. Okay, so I'm just curious. So lean into it. Try it. I always say try before you buy. You know, it is a crazy feeling, but like, how do you feel about like, one thing that like I think gets me through it as well is I have this motto where, would I rather live in fear or live with regret? So I channel, what feeling do I want to feel?
That's great.
But like, still, to be like, what's going on? How do you know what's right, though? Like, how do you know what's right?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think the whole purpose in life is to learn to trust yourself. So the process of trusting yourself is like begins with abandoning yourself over and over and over again. You know, like you like I think the bi a big part of like the human life is experiencing contrast. So, you know, it's like that's how we learn. So, I mean, so many of us, we start off in kind of abusive, dangerous homes, you know, where we have this fractious family relationships. And that I think that contrast that we experience then, or the negative emotion that we experience then, is it can be a sort of a propellant, you know, something that like pushes us to go, no, I want to experience positive emotion. I want to experience true connection with myself. I want to recreate scenarios from my childhood, yet this time I'm not going to abandon myself.
You are like hitting on the money here. Like,
Right?
this is my life. Tell me more.
Yeah, totally. But you know what I mean? Like Emma, like I think that's the ultimate pathway. The pathway is just to like develop deeper layers of trust in yourself. And ultimately, the trust in yourself is a trust in the earth itself. You know, we don't drop here, we grow out of the earth. Like we are of the earth, and the earth is kind of our home. And I think, like, and I know it's definitely easier for a man to say this than a woman, because for a man, we are typically just safe everywhere we go, especially a white man. As a woman, like, there's just areas in the world where you're just never safe, like areas everywhere. But from my experience, and I can't talk to like the female experience so much, but my experience, me learning to just feel safe as a human on the earth, and then just staying curious, really feels like that's the whole reason I'm here.
Yeah, it's like that, just that drive and that inner compass of your life, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
it's really weird to kind of explain. That sun is like beaming in on me now. It's really weird to explain, isn't it? And I think I totally like relate back to everything, especially like with the childhood thing as well. Like, I'm the oldest of four. And I was always that one, like, say, like, I got bullied, I got this, I'm like not worthy, not good enough, all these stories for years. I'm 37 now, and I can only say, since I hit rock bottom, I'd say about 3 years ago, I remember I said it even to, like, I'm starting to do retreats and things like that, and I'm like, I know who I am, and I actually only love who I am now. And like, that's really sad to go at 37, I'm only figuring that out now, isn't it?
Well,
no, but in this point, as in, like, it took us so much time because we're developing ourselves, where the amount of times that, like, in school they're getting taught about mindfulness and about yoga, I'm like, we didn't get that shit when we were younger. But in fairness, I do think a lot of people do go through life without even knowing that, like, either. So I am lucky that at 37 I'm realizing that too.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Do you know that way? And like, when did you have that turning point with that you were like, no, I actually am? Like, how long did it take you, like, to your 30s or to your 40s?
Still turning, do you know
what
I mean?
Like, it does, doesn't it?
There's still moments, like, and I notice it, I'm in a relationship, you know, and my partner, like, she will, she'll sometimes say, do you really mean that? And I go, fuck. It's, and the old people pleasing thing is still there. Or she'll call me out if she thinks I'm over adapting sometimes. Because there's still a lot of that, I think it's just the amazing thing about being in a relationship, because all my old, am I worthy narrative that emerges again once my heart starts to open a lot for a new person.
Yeah.
And so I'll have all these moments of like doubting myself or stressing about who I am as a person in the relationship. And then that's kind of the work is to, the work for me then is to just be like, no, Connor, you're enough. You're totally enough. You know, these lovely things that I'm hearing from my partner are true. I can take them through.
Yeah.
I don't have to sort of go, oh, she's just saying that. You know what I mean? So it never stops, right?
No, it never stops, literally. And I think it's so important to know that, like, being worthy and being enough, I think it's such a lifelong journey, and you'll always have those triggers coming in and out, but it's just knowing how to manage them.
Yeah. And, you know, it's even interesting, Emma, like, just to kind of like a little drop more of the vulnerability here. Like, when we came on the podcast and you started to say all these wonderful things about me, everything inside my body was like, she just says this. You know what I mean? Like this is part of her intro. She's buttering me up. Like, and this is the defense mechanism that's sort of built into me to prevent actually loving myself, which is wild to recognize that, right?
No, totally. I think when I first met Connor as well, like, I've always like followed his Instagram. He has a book, like, very vulnerable. I love what he's about, like, his energy, everything like that. And sometimes when you do have those compliments, you're really like, is that me? Are you talking about me? And then you want to defend, but then sometimes you have to just say thank you and absorb it. So it's even taking a compliment. So that would have taken, I think it's an Irish mentality as well, but even it comes back to the worthiness and the good enough, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It is. And before we wrap things up, because it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, I'd be here talking to you all day long. If you were to give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
To my younger self. Maybe just to relax. I think if there's one thing that really, like if there's one thing that really kind of followed my younger life was just this like nonstop anxiety, nonstop, and you know, it resulted in all sorts of just horrible like addictions and eating disorders and all sorts of kind of like self-harm shit, you know, just so much anxiety.
Yeah.
Having said that, I wouldn't be who I am if I hadn't gone through it. So I'd probably just like to give him a little hug and be, you know, keep going.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You're such a beautiful soul, beautiful person, and keep doing what you do. So if people want to follow you, give them your handle and your information. Go for it.
Yeah, so it's Instagram, Connor Crichton. I have a new podcast called Hacking Love, where I just ramble about love and relationships. Hacking Love is the name of that. And that's it. I'm a coach, whatever. You can chat to me if you think it might be worth your while. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Well, that is it for another week of the Empower with Emma podcast. I can't believe we're actually flying through them now and we're already on to episode 7. Like, what the hell? We have another 3 more episodes until we're wrapping up this season. And at this moment in time, I'm probably on a jet plane somewhere in Sri Lanka or Bali, and I hope you're following my story as well, because like the main thing is that like it's standing in your own power, you know, channeling your own happiness. You know, love and life is full of ups and downs, and I hope you got some nuggets from that pod as much as I did. And also to note as well, before I check out, is I have a spring reset retreat coming the end of April. If you're in need of some self-love and you want to step outside your own comfort zone and meet and greet and connect with like-minded people, it's in the beautiful location of Paris Court Springs in Wicklow. There's more information over on empowerwithemma.com, and feel free to drop me a message also or a DM on Instagram at Emma Kyo or Empower with Emma, as I would be more than happy to help you. So until next week, see you then.